Amen. Turn your Bible to Psalm 19. I'm in what they call midlife crisis. When you're in midlife crisis, they say the preachers put their glasses on, take them off, take them on. When you get over midlife crisis, you just keep them on all the time. So bear with me as I watch this. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Amen.
Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out to all the earth, and their words. I'm talking about this creation out here is saying something.
Amen.
Their words to the end of the world, in them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. We know who that is.
Amen.
We don't worship nature. But we can learn something about the Creator from the creation.
Amen.
God has designed that thing to draw us in. Go to Psalm chapter 8. Flip back a little bit there. Psalm chapter 8. Watch what the psalmist does here. Watch how this thing just builds to a crescendo. Verse 3, Psalm chapter 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens... You know what you're going to find in a society that starts moving indoors too much? Godlessness. You can't get what they're talking about on Xbox. You can't get what they're talking about at the football game or the baseball game or the entertainment section. You got to get this outside. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy finger, He's out there looking up the moon. That's that, young people. That's that big thing in the sky at night. And the stars which thou hast ordained, watch what it drives them. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Why would you think about me in this big scheme of things? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. And he's building up. Look, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Watch, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. Oh, Lord! He's got to praise him. He can't help it. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We don't worship nature, but we can learn something about the Creator from creation. And we can learn something about the created from the creatures. In Proverbs chapter 6, he said, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." That's a lazy guy. That's a sloth. That's a slob. He said, "Go to the ant and study her ways." Doesn't it say her way? He told that slob, he didn't even give him the satisfaction, go study a boy ant. If you're lazy, a girl ant has more character than you. Ants ain't just a squish. I've been squishing some. I've been going on these walks on this 90 out here. They got that, looks like they took an old railroad thing and put some bricks in there, and I can't help it, man. These dance that all these work, and I just whoop. I think about some person in church that's been bothering me. The psalmist said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee. Does that describe your quiet time? I hope so. Job said that man is born like a wild ass's colt. That's why he needs to be tamed. Jesus said, consider the ravens. Young people, that's not the Baltimore ravens. That's those little blackbirds that fly outside. And he goes on to say they don't get nervous when the provision isn't coming in. Our Lord likened us to sheep. Our Lord likened some of us to sheep with wolves' clothing, or wolves with sheep's clothing. He called Herod a fox. Paul said, I fought with beasts at Ephesus. Jesus said over there in Psalm on that cross, he was dogs encompassed him. I want to zero in on a creature to see if we can learn something about the Creator. Take your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 12. This is a missions conference, right? Amen. Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12, verse 7. I'm saying we can learn something about the created from the creatures. Watch this. Job chapter 12, 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And this is a beast I want to look at. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. I was preaching down through Philippians and in the church there, and I saw a verse where Paul said, be followers together of me. And another place he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I thought, Lord, that's a big order. Ask a man to follow another man. Then I got thinking about my own self. I'm a father and I'm a husband and I'm a pastor, and I'm calling on men to follow me as I follow Christ. And I asked myself the question, what does a follower of Jesus Christ look like? And one of the things that the smart theologian people do that they taught us in Bible college is they study this thing called the law of first mention, the first time it shows up. So I went to the New Testament and I said, if I'm asking people to follow me as I follow Christ, let me look at the first people that follow Christ and see what they look like and what the situation was. You know what my study turned into? A fish story. Look at your neighbor and say, this sounds like a fish story. All right, you're with me. You're with me. Take your Bibles. Let's look at the first time it shows up. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 18. Verse that starts in 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were, what's the next word say? Fishers. They're fishermen. They are commercial fishermen that fish for a living, to catch fish and sell them and make money. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You know where Jesus Christ starts his ministry? Jesus Christ starts his ministry down by the sea with these fishermen that are going to be future leaders that he's beginning to say, follow me. At the beginning of his ministry, he's down by the sea with fishermen, and the first four that he calls are going to be commercial fishermen. 33.33% of the disciples are going to be commercial fishermen. You know where he ends his ministry? Take your Bibles, turn to John 21. We'll pick it up in 14. Well, let's pick it up in 13. I don't want to miss that. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but he only fed people three times. The Passover supper was prepared by someone else. He fed them three times. One time he fed 4,000 plus, another time 5,000 plus, and this time here it was 7. You know what they fed him? Just a coink-a-dinky. Okay. 14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. This is the end now. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now move down with me to 19. Then spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, sound familiar? Follow me. verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thy me. He starts out his ministry with these fishermen saying, follow me and come. And he ends his ministry at the same scene with these fishermen plus, and I don't want to get ahead of myself either here, but fishermen get other people excited about fishermen. They started with four, now there are seven in the boat. Peter said, I go fishing. They say, we want to go fishing with you. And he ends this scene saying, follow me, but now go. First mention in Mark, fishermen, follow me. First mention in Luke 5, fishermen, follow me. Is it just a coincidence? Is it just happenstance? Is it this, that this has happened to be where he was and they were? Well, I can't. Or is there something in the human element of a commercial fisherman that our Lord saw as profitable for the propagation of His gospel to go around the world after He would be with them for a mere 42 months? The first four followers called in Matthew, Mark, Luke are fishermen. The inner circle, that's the circle I want to be in. The inner circle, Peter, James, John, called out 10 times in your Gospels, were fishermen. When there came that day, which we affectionately call the Mount of Transfiguration, when our Lord would be up there and He'd be transformed into that glorified body and there'd be Moses and Elijah and all kind of neat things going on there, He didn't call everybody up there. You know who He called? Three of the fishermen. Perchance. You know who said, bid me come to thee on the water? The fishermen did. You know who argued that said, and right or wrong, said, can we sit next to you in the kingdom on the right hand and on the left? You know, the fishermen. When Jesus would call four men in Mark chapter 13 up to reveal the intimate things of the end times, you know who He would reveal it to? The four fishermen. Gethsemane, when He would sweat, as it were, great drops of blood and He'd be over there alone, but He said, I want three of you to come close. It was the fishermen. You know who, of course, women are a whole other category. They were spiritual enough to get to the tomb first. But you know who the first men were sprinting to the tomb? Guess. Help me out. Say the fishermen.
Okay.
You know who Jesus asked to feed His sheep? The fishermen. I want you to be the apostle to the circumcision. You know who kicks off the first sermon in the church age in which we live? The fishermen. You know who does the first miracle in the church age in which we live? The fishermen. You know who writes the last chapter and word in your Bible? The fishermen. Three instances Jesus fed people. He fed them fish and bread, fish and bread, fish and bread. Only the last time it said He had honey with it. Must have been sweeter after the resurrection. He said, I'll give one sign to this evil and adulterous generation. A fish spitting a man out of the water. I think we can learn something about the Creator from the creation, and I think we could maybe have enough in the Bible here to get a blessing to learn from these creatures about the created. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Humans are likened, I'm going to make a statement here, humans are likened to fish underwater. They're likened to a lot of things. But one of those things is fish underwater. I'll just say this generally. I don't want to argue about it or stuff. I'm just going to tell you this. There's water up there. And you're under it. Genesis chapter 1 verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Genesis chapter 7 verse 11. Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Psalm 104. Isn't it nice to hear those pages? Now, some of y'all got them iPads. Here's the trouble with those. You can't hear this. Psalm 104, verse 2. I'll get there sooner or later. Psalm 104, verse 2. Who covers thyself with light as with a garment, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. Watch it. The waters stood above the mountains. There's water up there, and you're under it. Psalm 148. Look at your neighbor and say, something's fishy. All right. Psalm 148. Go verse 3. Let's go 2. Let's go Genesis 1:1. No, let's go... Look at all them praises. How could you not? 148:2. Praise ye Him, all ye angels. Praise ye Him, all ye hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Job 38. Job, before Psalm. Job 38. There's water up there. And you're under it. Job 38. The waters, verse 30, Job 38:30. One good thing about doing it with the iPad is they don't know when you ain't found it yet. The waters are hid as with a stone. The face of the deep is frozen. It looks like this invisible body of water up there. God is on top of this thing, and all I know is it's up there and we're down here. All right, Psalm 29. We'd never make it in a mega church tonight. This is too much Bible. Psalm 29. This is called the scripture barrage. I'm breaking all the rules of homiletics. Psalm 29, verse 10. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. There's water up there. You're under it, likened to a fish. I didn't say you look like a fish. Well, some of you don't. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And I'm going somewhere, so just bear with me. Sometimes you got to have a big antipasto tray before the meal comes. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Verse 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon it. He just likened man to a fish. Habakkuk chapter 1. Now, let me help you here. Here's how you remember the last four books of your Old Testament. They rhyme. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Say it with me, girls. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Habakkuk's in the Habakkuk of your Bible. It's the book before Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. So go over here, find Zephaniah, Haggai, and then you'll find Habakkuk. It's right before that in the Habakkuk of your Bible. See what you learn? Habakkuk chapter 1. Verse 13. Can you believe that was a man's name? Habakkuk chapter 1. I mean, I heard a lot of Bible names, people names, but I never heard that one. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Thou art of pure eyes and behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than her? And makest men as the fishes of the sea. Let's look at one more. Revelation chapter 4, and then we'll get rolling here. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 6, Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. I think this is the top of the water. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Revelation chapter 17. Look at this here. Verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. So this God that seems to be up on top of this water up there and likens us to fish down here, this God that brought His people through the Red Sea down where the fish are, and to the Jordan down where the fish are, who baptized unto Moses, immersed people in the cloud and in the sea. He decided to put the flesh of a man on one day and come down here and minister and take our place and be our substitution. And He sends a predecessor. That fancy word, girls, for somebody that comes before you. And He sent His predecessor. And I'll tell you a story, just to sort of put it practical. This guy named Louis was walking his dog down by the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. And old Louis, he liked to get a nice morning walk. And he's walking down and he sees these fishermen and they're casting nets. And they're pulling these whoppers out of that water. I mean, them whoppers are under the... And he's pulling them fish out of there. And Louis walking his dog, you know, doing his thing. And he looks and he sees these little boys. These little boys are on a dock and they got some bobbers out there with a bamboo pole. And he sees them little bobbers going down there. And them boys are pulling fish out of the water. And he said, oh, what a beautiful day. This is so nice. Then he comes around the corner and he sees this man. He's a hairy man. I think he's kind of an ugly man. Maybe he didn't seem to have a lot of tact. You know what he was doing? He pulling men out of the water. John the Baptist was pulling men. Ain't that the weirdest thing you... Say, I smell a fish. All right, you're with me. Just perchance, just happenstance, just coincidence, or are there some reasons that the first four He chose, where He started the thing and ended the thing, was with commercial fishermen? I'm going to take my time now, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and tell you why I think it wasn't, or maybe it wasn't just perchance. Maybe Jesus Christ chose fishermen to really be the front line of this operation He was going to be doing. Because fishing is by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's fishing. And you may in some instances of some certain kind of fishing see a little shadow here or a little something there. But for the most part, it's the only sport, it's the only game sport where the hunter doesn't see the hunted. All he sees is a body of water. But there's evidence that there's life in that water.
Amen.
If you're going to qualify as a follower of Jesus Christ in the inner circle, you're going to have to fish for men. And if you're going to fish for men successfully or without losing your mind, you're going to have to look past the body to that which is invisible, where the real life down is, in the soul. Looking at bodies today will discourage you.
Yes, sir.
I see the bones they got in their nose and the face look like it fell in the tackle box. And, oh man, you can't find somebody without a tattoo anymore. And you know what I get when I see that? I'm not as spiritual as Adam. Look at the opportunity. A soul for God. Look at this guy! I'm telling the truth. I was young. I wasn't always saved until I was 26. I said, "Dad, I'm getting a tattoo." He said, "I'll cut your arm off." "I'm getting an earring." "I'll cut your ear off." You know what you don't see? Earrings or tattoos. Thanks, Dad. Man by the name of Hector Savage. He started out early. He just had a terrible upbringing, abused as a young child, and just rough homes and foster home to detention center to detention center. And he was in prison from the time he was 19 to the time he was 29. And I've heard preachers preach this illustration, but I never heard it first hand myself. And he got out of jail back in May. And he stood on a bridge in the town of Holly. And for 45 minutes, he stood on that bridge and he was going to jump. You know why he didn't jump? Because he didn't think it was high enough to die. He went back to his house. 3 days later, one of our young men knocked on his door. He said, "You want to go to church?" "Yeah, I've never been to church." Hector's got a demon. And he's as bald as a cue ball. In our church, this guy walking with a demon on the back of his head. Full dresser, man, all the way down to the fingers, mongols and crosses. Gigantic crosses. And after the first discipleship lesson, I said, "Hector, do you know how Jesus died?" He said, "I told you, man, I've never been to church." If we would have looked at the body, we'd have quit before we started. Our Lord came along, and when He was going to make that opening preacher that was going to kick off that first message, and when He was going to pick the guys that would lead the charge, He said, "I need some men that have something in them that looks at not what they can see." See, the soul don't have no demon on the back of its head. Everybody's even when it comes to the soul. Maybe it wasn't just perchance that He chose fishermen, but He chose them because fishing's by faith. Next. Maybe Jesus Christ chose commercial fishermen because they fish on purpose. Here's what Peter said. "I go a fishing." Now I know he takes a lot of heat for that. This is after the resurrection. He should have been out winning. So he said, "I go a fishing, man, because we ain't got no money. He's gone now. Where's the fighting of the 5,000? We need to get something to eat." Commercial fishermen don't go to do something else and, "Well, I'll fish if I get a chance. I'll bring my popio pocket fisherman." Some of you old timers remember the little portable fishing. And if I go by a mud puddle or a stream, I might just sort of put it. Commercial fishermen see a prize. Commercial fishermen fish on purpose. "Well, I like this one. If I get an open door." Now listen, for direction, don't go through closed doors. But let me ask you a question. Did Jesus die for sinners?
Yes.
Was He buried and rose again the third day?
Yes.
Did He say, "Go preach the gospel to every creature"?
Yes.
Did He give you the Holy Spirit to seal you unto the day of redemption? Did He preserve and inspire His Word? The door is open. Turn to your neighbor and say, let's go fishing. Amen. By faith. On purpose. Is that describing your fishing experience for men? Next. Commercial fishermen prepare to catch fish. They're mending their nets when He shows up. Serious fishing takes a lot of preparation. 1984, 2 years before I got saved, my last idol, my last god in this world was fishing. I bought me a 17-foot open bow with a 90-horsepower Evinrude, and where we are up there on Lake Ontario, I walk through a park right on that lake every morning. Some of the finest fishing, especially this time of year when those trout and salmon are getting ready to go back up in the tributaries and the creeks and the rivers to spawn up there, and they get big long snoots on them like that. And let me tell you, you might not believe this, but I don't do anything halfway. My philosophy of ministry is a poor plan, violently executed, will work. I said, honey, I'm going to get a boat. Oh, no. She cheered for me in football. She's been cheering ever since. Amen? You know what I did? I prepared. This is technical fishing. You got to put these little skis, they're called planer boards. You use outriggers out here in the ocean, but there's a cable connected. It gets your lines out. They got these things called downriggers. There's a lead ball that you get these big expensive fishing poles and you put them on, and then you're covering all your area with all this. And I studied and I read all winter long. And I had a friend by the name of Glenn Ruta. He didn't know that he was teaching me fishing, but I was fishing for him. And I caught him for Jesus, by the way. I forgot all about that. Didn't even have it in my notes. And I watched him and I discussed with him and I prepared. And then I went fishing with him and I fished alongside him. And then I did a little fishing for myself. The night before the fish, you can't sleep. Especially you got to cook the lunch. You got to be ready to go. You're sharpening the hooks. Any sport, any vocation, any hobby takes preparation. You know what He did in Matthew 4? He called them. You know what He did in Matthew 5 through 7? He taught them. You know what He did in Matthew, taught them in 8 and 9? You know what He did in 10? He took them and then He transferred them and said, now you guys go. And 42 short months later, He felt that they were prepared enough, and we're sitting here today because of it. Prepared. I don't think we put enough prayer into our men fishing. And I give credit to my brother over here. Go to John 15:8. Watch verse 7, John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at our context of the next verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear, what's the next word? Much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Look down at verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Again, the context that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. I preached a message back there called vineyard praying. And I began to be honest, guys. Have you ever hunted? Whoever prayed, Lord, would you help me get one today? Right? Fishing? Lord, let my boy get one. Let me get one too. I don't know how all that works. But I said, Lord, I want to glorify You in my life. I want to glorify You the way I dress. I want to glorify You the way I pastor. I want to glorify You with my entertainment choices. I want to glorify You with the version of the Bible I read out of. But Lord, this is hitting me hard because You said You're glorified when we bear much fruit. And it's that context that He says, ask what you will and it'll be done. So if I could be so bold as to take liberty to add a little phrase to some of our promises in prayer, call unto Me about fishing, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Ye have not, because you ask not about fishing. Ask about fishing and you shall receive. Seek about fishing and you shall find. Knock about fishing and it shall be opened unto you. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man about fishing availeth much. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication about fishing. Would you pray, oh God, give me fruit and fruit that would remain for You. Maybe we'd get a little better results bringing them in God's boat. Amen. Fishermen are prepared. Number one fear of men fishing is we're not prepared. We don't know our net. I come from a big family. My dad had, not my own self, but my dad had 11 brothers and sisters. There's a lot of camillaries up there where we come from. And I got saved at 26 years old, May 1986. How old was I? May 1986. 26 years old. I had to ask the Holy Spirit. You know how them wives help you out sometimes. Amen. They usually ruin a good story with the truth. Amen. She's 15 years old. She's 16. You had to ruin a good story with the truth. Most of the family's Catholics. Hundreds of cousins. They're everywhere. The one side, the Fenari side, is Mary Dan Josephine. They're Mormons. Like high priest Mormons, my cousin. If a Jehovah Witness knocks on the door anywhere in our city and I say, do you know Militello? Married to Aunt Connie Camilleri. You know Militello? They've said to me, they're the lifeblood of the Jehovah Witness in this city. And I'm newly saved. And you know what? You wouldn't believe that people could, especially Italians, what Italian Mormons and Italian Catholics and Italian Jehovah Witnesses have in common? They all love to argue. And the family picnic's coming up. I don't know if my motive was right, but I was reading the Bible for 4.5 hours a day. I said to the guy who led me to Christ, what's with this book of Revelation? He said, well, here's a commentary. I read it in a weekend. I enrolled in the Bible Institute. I wanted to know my net. Church became more than church. It was preparation time for fishing. Quiet time became more than, okay, what's the chart say today? Proverbs 31. Oh, what do I do now? It's a leap year and I got this extra day. I don't know what to do. I mean, you're going to be in the next Fox's Book of Martyrs. I got this crisis, you know. Should I add the two now or later? Wait, tomorrow? What do I do? Oh, the quiet time got me in the inner circle and prepared me for fishing.
Yes, sir.
By faith, on purpose, prepared. What preparations do you need to make to get to the next step of where God wants you to fish? Maybe He chose commercial fishermen because they make time for fishing versus recreational fishermen who fish when they have time. Here's what Jesus said in Luke. I must be about my Father's business. They said, sit down, Lord, let's have a dinner here. He said, my need is to do the will of Him that sent me. Do we have any full-time, this is your living, commercial fishermen in the building tonight? Is there any where you make your living at fishing? Do we have any recreational fishermen? You like to go fish, I'm talking about out on the water and catch fish. I'm not going to pick you out. Look, one little boy, come on. If you've ever fished, come on. I'll bet Adam Thompson's salvation. That the commercial fisherman fishes more than the recreational fisherman. You know why? Recreational fishermen fish when they have time, when the chores are done, when the honey-do list is done, when the painting's done, when the job is done, when I've been to the 3 birthday parties and 10 family picnics and I got to paint the house and I got to shave the dog and I got to do this and I got to do that. That's why they don't fish much. So it is with recreational fishers of men. They spell God backwards. And God sort of gets the leftovers if they find time. They'll fish for men after the chores are done, after the painting's done, after the projects are done, after the honey-do list is done, after the Xbox tournament, and the 7 fellowships, and the family picnics. And if that's the case, that's why there's not a lot of men fishing going on. And when there's not a lot of men fishing going on, guess what? What do we used to say? You can't catch them if your line's not in the water. There's not a lot of men catching going on. I don't think he just said, here's some fishermen. These guys look like they ain't got nothing to do. I think there was something after the counsel of his divine will that he said, there's some element in this man, in these men that are going to kick off this thing, that are going to start off this thing, that are going to carry this thing and have to stick with this thing. I'm going to choose some fishermen. By faith, on purpose, prepared, that didn't have time, they made time. Are you in the inner circle? Would I be qualified in the description that Jesus Christ would give of a follower of Him? Maybe He chose commercial fishermen because commercial fishermen aren't satisfied just to feed fish. They're dissatisfied unless they catch fish. Go to John 21. John 21. Fishermen, they don't like getting skunked. John 21. Verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night caught nothing. They got skunked. And you know they weren't happy. Who likes going fishing and getting skunked? You feed fish in an aquarium. You feed goldfish. You feed fish on a walk in the park or with the little bread or the corn, and you see them come up and you feel good. But you didn't ever see a fisherman going down to the dock and getting his little bucket of night crawlers and going, you didn't see no fishermen getting in that boat, and as they're on their way to that fishing spot way out there that they charted on that GPS the day before, as they're going out, that guy's got that big bucket of chubs, minnows, whatever you want to use, and as they're going out, he's going, whoom, whoom, whoom. Man, this feels great. What are you doing? I'm fishing. If I come home from a fishing excursion, And my wife said, How'd you do when I say I fed the fish? That's a bad thing. I appreciate, and don't you dare misrepresent me, I appreciate handing out tracts. I hand them out. Our church is handing them out by the gazillions. Outdoor rock concerts every week for years. Beale Street, Trinidad. I mean, literally all over the world. They are a hook in themselves. And scattering the seed fits the planting analogies in the Bible. But it don't fit the fishing analogy. And we got to have a Bible balance. Let me ask a question. Is there anyone in the room tonight that you were saved, hear me out, with a gospel tract independent of anyone that handed it to you? You found it somewhere. You read a gospel tract that you found, no witness, no acquaintance, nobody hands you. Is there anyone found a gospel tract? Not one. How many of you were handed a gospel tract by a total, complete stranger? You read the gospel tract and you got saved. Now, you know, you always get nervous when you give these kind of things, because what if 20 people raise their hand, just blew your whole illustration? Right? How many got saved through an acquaintance and a gospel tract? How many got saved because somebody opened up a Bible and engaged you? Is anybody saved in here tonight? How many people? How did they do it down here, brother? I mean, somebody opened up a Bible and led you to Christ. Let me see your hands. Amen? All right, good. It's always better fishing with a man on the end of a pole. That gospel tract contains the Word of God, and it's a hook in itself. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me and troubles me, because as the preacher was saying last night, some things that we were so convinced that we were right on, you get up the road a little bit, you find out how wrong you were. And I'll tell you what bothers me. Sometime I come home, we just went to New York City, and we handed out 10,000 gospel tracts, and I feel good. Did you catch any fish? See, I'd have come home from the fishing trip and said, honey, I handed out 40 worms today to those fish.
Good.
I'm just trying to bring us some balance of the danger of fulfilling a false sense of security that we've appeased the king of our fishing charter because we went. Now, I realize there's times you got to bomb them with the tracks. I mean, I'd like to go over Mecca and just go. When I first got saved and I was too scared to hand them out, I'd go in the men's room at the Eastman Kodak Company where I worked, and I'd take them and I'd slide them up in the toilet paper roll. I'd pull that toilet paper out and I'd roll that thing up. And I sneak in the next one. And it just gave me the satisfaction of knowing people was going to go. I'm for it. But Jesus didn't say, follow me and I'll make it become tractors of men. He said, follow me, I'll make it become fishers of men. He didn't say, from henceforth, thou shalt track men, or thou shalt billboard men, or thou shalt bumper sticker men, or thou shalt banner men, or thou shalt scripture shirt men. And I do and will do all of those things. But brethren, those things are better with a man on the end of the pole. Engage in a sinner. That's how you're going to catch men. We're a Bible-based ministry. Amen? And I didn't see one man in the Bible handing out a tract. I didn't hear Peter coming back and say, "You can't believe it. We went up to Jerusalem. We handed out 3,000 tracts." He opened his mouth. They engaged sinners. They fished and they caught 3,000 men. I didn't see Philip run up there to the Ethiopian eunuch and say, "Hey, sir, I'd like to leave you with something to read." Listen to me. He already had something to read, just like the preacher prayed. He needed a man on the end of the pole. You know, I feel sorry for non-Italians in this way. You don't know who the first Frenchman was to be saved in the church age. You don't know who the first German was. You don't know who the first Polish man was. But you know who the first Italian was. Cornelius. He was in the Italian band. Oh, solami. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that Peter didn't go knock on the door. "Sir, I'm from the first such and such church down there. And if you'll just read this, there's some good news on there. Come and see us some Sunday. We got a website. Have a nice day." You know what he did? He opened and alleged. He engaged a sinner. He opened his mouth and he caught up. An Italian man. Paul and Silas didn't leave a track on the bars in the jailhouse. They opened their mouths. He didn't say, "How shall they hear without a track?" Now, let me give you this illustration just to be sure that you don't misrepresent me. Up where we fish up there, Adam's done it with us. It's technical. It's downrigger. Now, there's other fishing and all that too, but this one kind of fishing, you need downriggers. You have to get as many lines, that'll preach, in the water as you possibly can, as deep as you can, the whole way up, stacked up, down, and out. And let's say you say, "Ooh, that sounds like fun. I'm going to try that. I'm going to go up to Brother Camilleri's. I don't have a boat anymore, but let's say I do for this illustration." And you come and say, "Preacher, we'd like to use the boat." I say, "Okay, go out. Here's what you got to do. I'll give you the lesson. I got to do my walking in the park. I'll be down there and I'll see you." And I go down there and there you are the next morning with a bobber and a pole. I say, "Hey, have you any meat?" "No, man, we ain't catching nothing." And I look and I say, "How come they're not trolling? How come they don't have the planer boards out? How come they don't have the downriggers down?" I say, "What are you doing?" They said, "Well, they're not biting." I said, "Hey, man, you got to use those planer boards like I showed you. I'm trying to help you catch the fish up here." And you just get all mad and you just take your little minnow bucket and go home. And you come down here and Brother Fallua is all excited. Say, "Hey, how is the fishing up there?" And you say, "Brother Camilleri don't believe in bait fishing. Brother Camilleri don't believe in bait fishing." No, he believes in bait fishing. He's just trying to help you catch some fish. Yeah. I believe in gospel tracts. Say this. He believes in gospel tracts. Ready? But he didn't say, "How shall they hear without a gospel tract?" He didn't say God chose the foolishness of gospel tracts. He didn't say, "Let us go over to the other cities that I can hand out some tracts over there too." Isn't this depressing? But you've got to have a little crucifixion before you can have a resurrection. You know, he chose guys that were not content just to feed him, that were discontented until they caught fish by faith. Are you fishing by faith? Or has CNN and NBC and Fox and Savage and Limbaugh and all that bombardment of what you see said, "It ain't worth my time"? Are you on purpose? Or are you still waiting for the open door that's already open? Are you prepared? What's your next move? What's your next step of preparation? Do you make time or do you fish when you have time? And let me ask you this. Are you satisfied? Just feed me. Take your Bibles, Matthew 13. We're finishing up. A fish story. Matthew 14. I'm sorry, 13. I got the wrong verse. Ask one of the theologians later. Here's what he said. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. And they drew all them fish in there. But some of them weren't his fish. You know, he threw them where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you're in this little pseudo net here today. And you got the right clothes. And you're singing the right songs. And you've got the right Bible and the right pastor. But you know you're not one of them fish. Don't go to hell for nobody. Get in his boat. Just try it. What do you got to lose? Get in. You're going to get another opportunity to be saved. John 21. Verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. What if we get up there and he asked that question? What if right now our clock stopped ticking and he said to us, looking at our net, bring me of the fish which ye have now caught. And this is the question I want to ask you. Are you content with what's in the net that you've caught for him? Are you content with the fish your church is catching? You know what? I'm not going to lie. We've come too far to start lying now in this message. I like when people come to our church. I even like when they come from other churches. I mean, we just like bodies at this stage of the game. Just warm. But you know, all this church hopping, it's kind of like an old fish sandwich walking in the door. You know what fishermen like? They like fresh fish. I want some fresh fish in the church. I want some guys with demons on the back of their head. One of the best fishing stories I ever had a few weeks ago. 4 weeks now, this one of our guys has properties, and Dan, and he brought this guy. This guy's got tattoos of the gods, man. Thor, I mean, creepy, big, ugly, burly. And it came to the invitation, and I told the choir to go up and sing, what was that song? It's All About the Blood. It's all about the blessing. I'm going to be standing right here. And if you want to come and get saved, you come down. Well, the people were sitting. The choir was singing. And I'm kind of into this song. And all of a sudden, this Thor comes down. And he looks at me and says, I want to get saved. I ran up to Brother Jay. I grabbed my Bible. I said, hey, take the invitation. I'm going to take this guy upstairs. Took him up in the office. Of course, kind of an office. He hits his head on the thing. We're not dignified. You got to see Adam for that. Show the guy through the scriptures. He gets saved. And you know what he said? He said, praise. He goes, oh, I almost said praise the gods. But he said, praise Jesus. Instead. I like fresh fish.
There's old Fred the Fish. He's been to every church in town. He's back. How you doing, brother?
And again, I give the credit to the Lord using my brother over here. Greatest summer we ever had. Winning souls. Catching fish. I'm going to elaborate on that a little bit as we go through this week. But part of the big thing that changed my life was that vineyard praying. And I began to pray, Lord, if this glorifies You, I want to glorify You more. I want fruit that will remain. And man, it's been coming in. Not like the big shots and all that, but for us it's big. They don't invite you up for tea where we're at. Come on. First time I preach in the South in Georgia, you saying, yeah, I'm saying. Where'd you get saved? When I was 12 years old, down at the Baptist church, right there. Praise God! I go to the next. You know where you're going when you die? Yes, sir. Where are you going? I'm going to heaven. How? Blood of Jesus. Woo! No wonder they call it the Bible Belt. Then I went back to the church and talked to the preacher. A Georgia preacher. He said, I ain't saved. I said, Lord, I've been praying for 20 years. I want something for You. I was out praying that prayer one morning. I've been witnessing to this guy named Walter Breeze. He's the manager of the Subway in the little town I live. And I can't stand them subs, but they're low calories. And I'm trying to lose weight, so I go in there and eat them anyway. And I met Walter, and I just took an interest in him and started. I made these little cards up. You know, you get 250 cards for nothing. I will personally teach you the Bible, individual or group study, 1 hour per week, free. You can quit anytime you want. I'm not going to hug you, kiss you, take your money. I'm just going to teach you the Bible. That was November I started. I'd go in there, hey, Walter, we're having a little event coming up and you're invited. Okay, I'll try to come out. I'm in the park praying 2 weeks ago and I get a phone call. Walter, I'd like to sit down and talk to you. Now, he's the manager. His father owns the place. He's the manager of Subway. I want to sit down. I want to buy you supper. Come over to the restaurant. My first thought is, I wonder if they make 5-foot subs. No. I said, I'll be there. I'll be there tonight. And we went and we sat down. I thought for sure I was going to snag him. And he just listened intently. I gave him the clear-cut gospel every way but Sunday. And I said, have you ever heard that before? He said, I never heard it. We got here Tuesday. I'm out there praying on it where I was squishing the ants out there on 90. It's Walter. Hello? Hey, preacher. I think I'm ready.
Amen.
I'm not going to ask you who wants to go to the foreign mission field tonight. That's going to be a select few like the preacher preached last night. Not going to ask you for finances. You can loosen up. But here's what I'm going to ask you. If you would commit to pray for 40 days, November 11th, Veterans Day, you're done. Lord, if this glorifies You, I want remaining fruit for You. If you're not content with what's in your net, that's all I'm asking. But you've got to let me know. And then I want you to go, and I'm not going to tell you to do 1,000 things. I just want you to watch your bobber. I want you to watch the tip of that pole. I want you to be circumspect, and I want you to be prepared. And as we come Sunday morning and Sunday night, we'll talk about some other things to watch for when you're fishing. Let's all stand. If you're not saved, come in the boat. There's nothing like it. come down here and say, I want to be saved. You're a young lady, old lady. Some lady will take you, show you how to be saved. Most of you know anyways. Maybe you're not content with what's in your net. You imagine if he said, bring me the fish which ye have now caught. I'm not content. I'm not content with a fish over there coming over. Just be. I want fresh fish. Preacher, it's all yours. It says, follow me. The three in the inner circle were fishermen. Don't you want to be in that inner circle? I do. And if that's what it takes to be a follower, Lord, help me not to lose my burden. Help me not to forget to pray every day and mean it. Lord, I want remaining fruit to glorify you. Thank you for getting me in that net. Thank you for the man that had the boldness to look past what I was to the inside on purpose, by faith, prepared to open up a Bible and engage me. Lord, help me not to be satisfied just feeding fish, but be discontented till I catch something for you. Lord, thank you. Lord, bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Get renewed. Get renewed. I want to go fishing. I'm going to get ahead of myself, but fishermen don't quit when they get skunked. There's life in those waters.